I'd like to bring the House Committee on Business and Labor to order. We have a couple of bills that I'd like to announce that will be taken up at 5:30. That would be House Bill 4113. House Bill 4127. And House Bill 4086. For the moment. With that, I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 4123.
Mr. Chair and committee members, this measure allows duplicate health insurance coverage for public employees who begin employment before January 1, 2020. Prohibits duplicate health insurance coverage for public employees who begin employment on or after January 1, 2020. And it deletes the prohibition on paying the employer contribution to the employee who declines coverage and is enrolled in a spouse or family member's state-sponsored plan. There's no amendment on this measure.
Thank you. Also, House Bill 4093 will be this evening as well. Just to slide that in there. So, on the public hearing on House Bill 4123, I'm going to call up. Is that Danny?
Darren?
Oh, Darren Hosgrover?
Darren Boy.
James Carter and Thomas Taylor. Those ones I can read.
Mr. Chair, could I lead off?
Oh, didn't see you there on the list. I thought you were just here for entertainment.
Well, I am. Well, actually, for knowledge.
Well, give us some. You're welcome to the committee.
Thank you, sir.
Excuse me for not recognizing you were somehow attached to this bill.
So, Mr. Chair, Vice Chairs Barreto and Bynum, and members of the committee, my name is Chris Gorsuch. I am the state representative for House District 49, which is East Multnomah County, and I am here today to testify on 4123. Back in 2017, you may recall, on the last day of the session, the legislature amended into Senate Bill 1067, language taking away a state employee's double coverage insurance, only when both spouses had chosen to work in public service and receive coverage they didn't earn through a state-sponsored insurance plan, whether that be OEB or PEB. I voted against that measure, and the reasons why I voted against the measure will tie into why I'm involved with this current measure. So one of the problems that I had with 1067 was, as we frequently note in this building, it was not fully vetted. We didn't learn what, if any, actual savings were going to be achieved through the action. We weren't provided adequate opportunity for public comment for those that were impacted. I also had a problem with taking away important modes of compensation, which many employees, especially those with low salary or low hourly pay, had chosen over taking a higher wage job from another employer. Many of those folks went on to remain working in these positions because they prefer more comprehensive insurance or direct compensation. I really didn't believe that the legislature should unilaterally disrupt the playing field in which contracts are collectively bargained between employers and employees. There was no opportunity for employees to renegotiate their benefit package to respond to this loss of benefit. The legislature, in essence, decreed it, and the benefit was gone. So House Bill 4123, which is now before you, is a pretty straightforward bill, I think, designed to remedy some of the aspects of what we did in 1067. House Bill 4123 would change the prohibition on double coverage to apply to newly hired employees hired on or after January 1, 2020. Current employees would, under 4123, have access to their double coverage benefit reinstated, and all employees would be able to double cover dependent children both now and into the future. So that is my testimony, and I'm certainly willing to answer any questions. Thank you for your time, Mr. Chair and committee.
Thank you, Representative Gorsuch. Any questions for the representative? Thank you very much for being here,
sir,
and launching us off into this public hearing.
Have a lovely day.
You as well. With that, now I'll bring up Darren.
Boschauer.
Sorry. And, James Carter and Thomas Taylor.
Chairman Holvey, Vice Chair Bynum, and Barreto, and other members of this committee. Thank you for the opportunity today to provide these comments. My name is Darren Hoschauer, and I'm a member of Oregon AFSCME Council 75. I am submitting testimony today in support of House Bill 4123 that seeks to remedy the effects of the bill from last session. As a public servant, I recognize the trust the community and the citizens of the state place in me and my role in protecting my community. As a union member, I fight for a better workplace and to protect the benefits that I have. And I strongly believe that as a public servant, I should look at public service as the employer of first choice as opposed to an employer of last resorts. I chose that as my career. My wife did as well. The elimination of the additional benefit for PEB and OEBB members is problematic in both the message it sends around changing benefits and also with the real world impacts it has, excuse me, on my family's daily life. I don't want to talk today about the fundamental unfairness of this law, how the state would not stand for a private employer willfully choosing to discriminate against a family because they have insurance that's provided by their spouse. Nor will I, or how my wife, please excuse me. I want to speak about my family. My wife Jamie and I are parents of three great kids, Trenton, Hayden, and Madison. We both work for the state, my wife for the Department of Human Services, and I for the Department of Corrections. We're raising three kids, and we're double covered. And we have some significant challenges with one of our children. And the effects of this would take what is, in essence, an inconvenience and something that we have to manage financially into something that would become insurmountable for us, that the medical bills would be larger than what we would feel we could handle. And I have a lot of things that I prepared to say, but I'd rather just say that the impact of this and the fact that there was no time to really assess it, hear how that impacted state employees, felt very difficult for me as a public servant, but also as a member of and a citizen of this state. So I appreciate the fact that you've allowed me to speak today, and I would welcome any comments or questions you have.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate your testimony. Go ahead and introduce yourself for the record.
Chair Holvey, members of the committee, my name is James Carter. I am a public employee, a member of SEIU. I work for the Department of Revenue, and I come here not representing the department, but to represent myself and my colleagues. I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 4123 and to share with you the personal impact and the passage of Senate Bill 1067 last session had in regards to the elimination of double coverage for public employees. The passage of Senate Bill 1067 took away my family's ability to be double covered with health insurance. I do have younger children who are active and they also play in sports. This makes it to where we do actually use our insurance, but only when necessary for injuries, accidents, and illnesses, etc. Once this policy goes into effect in 2020, the cost to take my family to the doctor will rise. I will be paying more out of pocket, which is going to make some visits not possible to the doctor. I have dedicated 12 years of my life to being a public servant. I chose this career path Although the pay was less than the private sector, I chose it due in large part to the health benefit. I have a coworker who is married and has dependents. This coworker's spouse works in a private sector, and both my coworker and their spouse have insurance for each other. With the passage of Senate Bill 1067, I will no longer be able to have insurance on my spouse or children. This essentially creates an unequal pay for the exact same job between my coworker and myself. Although we both have the same experience and time with the state, I will be receiving approximately $1,500 less in benefits and pay than my coworker does. House Bill 4123 will grandfather in current public sector workers and only eliminate double coverage for new workers beginning in 2020. Honestly, I still think this is bad policy, but it is better than what we are currently facing. Changing the rules in the middle of the game, all just to save a few dollars, is a terrible idea. I think you will see the fallout is going to be worse than the benefit you gained from a few dollars saved. Thank you for the opportunity to allow me to testify today.
Go ahead. Chair Holby, members of the committee, thanks for taking the opportunity to talk to me today, or listen to me today. My name is Thomas Taylor. I am a state employee and a member of SEIU. I've worked for the state for almost 15 years now. I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 4123. I want to start by saying that I started working for the state when I turned 19 years old. The first thing I would tell people when I would meet them, I said, I got a job at the state. And the first thing they would tell me is, wow, that's great. You know, I mean, you have the state's got great benefits. That's wonderful. Since that time, I got to tell you, it's been nothing but takeaway after takeaway. It first started with freezes. Then it started with furloughs, paying a portion of our health care. And now, you know, currently with the Senate Bill 1067 last session passing, my family will lose medical benefits only because my wife, Tammy, is also a state employee. Honestly, one has to wonder why anyone would want to come work at the state anymore because of this. My wife and I were married in March of 2011. Before that time, we each had our own health care as we both worked for the state. She has a daughter from a previous marriage, and we gave birth to my son Grayson in 2012. With the double coverage that we have, I don't know where we would be with that today. The coverage was there for the birth of my son. It allows my wife and I to go to doctor's appointments without having to pay most copays. Dentist visits are virtually without copay, prescriptions, glasses. It's been a huge incentive, honestly, for us working for the state. Especially considering I would likely take more home pay, take in more pay with working for the private sector. My son was also recently diagnosed with asthma, and it's got to be the best thing in the world thinking about how I don't have to worry about those with his asthma. I'm sorry. I think it's also important to note that the term double coverage is a little bit misleading. I say this because it's not the same coverage as primary coverage. Every time I call and ask about what copays are, it's a bit misleading. It's different. It's secondary coverage. It's significantly reduced. That said, it still leaps and bounds better than what I would get without having double coverage. I also want to tell you that even with the double coverage, my wife and I still put in $1,200 a month into the flexible spending account so that we don't have to worry about those types of copays. That's a lot of money. I don't know how else to say it, but I work paycheck to paycheck with both my wife and I both working for the state. We both work in different sections, and it's just a lot. It's a lot. The idea that two workers who sit next to each other every day might receive a different level of benefits simply due to who they are married to is inherently unfair. It really is. If both spouses work for the state and both pay premiums, then we should be afforded the benefits as such. You would never see a practice like this in the private sector. You have to ask yourself why this policy would change, what kind of policy change is going to cost the state. With an economy like this, employees have a lot of choices. The state is looking less and less appealing to workers like me and to folks entering the workforce. And I don't understand for what. I have yet to hear how much money this is going to save the state and if there are any savings to be had. You should not be balancing the budget on the back of state workers like myself. And I thank you for the time listening to me.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Thank you all three for coming up, and you know, I know exactly what you're talking about. I lost double coverage a while back as well, and not due to this that bill, but and it's tough, you know, when you see all these costs going up and your copays going up, and I know that oftentimes public sector workers, you know, don't get paid quite as much on the salary, and they trade off the good benefits, which encourage them to take those jobs. And now that those benefits are being stripped away, I worry about the future of our public employees. So I think this issue is far-reaching into the future. So I really appreciate you coming forward.
Can I have a question?
Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I guess the question is, if did you get compensated at all for dropping one or the other? I mean, if you don't take insurance as a state employee, does the state comp you something for that, for dropping that one coverage?
Representative Barreto, if you opt out currently, I believe it's around $230 that you are you're compensated. However, after Senate Bill 1067 is passed, that is eliminated. After 2020, it will be eliminated.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony today. Up next, I'm going to have John Larson, Helen Jacobs, and Soren Metzger.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Hovey, members of the committee. My name is John Larson. I'm a high school language arts teacher from Hermiston, Oregon, currently serving as the president of the Oregon Education Association, representing more than 45,000 professional educators and serving roughly 600,000 Oregon students. For decades, Oregon educators and public servants have negotiated salary and benefits with their school districts, community colleges, education service districts, or other employers. Those benefits included an assumption of the ability to receive coverage for themselves and their families, regardless of their spouse's health care coverage. Many relied on both spouses' health care plans in order to afford complex or costly medical conditions or prescriptions. And many made employment decisions based on their family's need for and presumed access to health care coverage of both plans. In 2017, at the very end of session, with little to no discussion or input from those impacted, the legislature unilaterally changed all that, taking away the ability for public sector workers who rely on two state-sponsored health plans to continue to be double-covered, effective next plan year. House Bill 4123 is an important but simple bill. It reinstates health care coverage for members who receive benefits for both themselves and their spouse and who are currently working in public service. We believe this is an important and prudent step. The legislature did away with double coverage without being sure how much, if any, savings it actually generated, or taking what I would view as the appropriate steps to determine whether the cost to working families across Oregon were worth whatever savings were achieved. On behalf of educators across Oregon who have made sacrifices to serve the public by educating our students and who have traded lower salaries for stable health care for their families, we urge you to allow the local collective bargaining process to work, to allow workers to receive the comprehensive health care coverage they need, and not to unilaterally take away benefits outside of the bargaining process. I thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Chair Hovery, I'm not saying it right, I'm sure, and members
That's
of the
okay,
committee.
Called worse.
Sorry. My name is Helen Jacobs, and I am a special education school bus driver. I also represent 601 members in the Greater Albany Association of Classified Employees. In the last session, taking this step that has been made so quickly did not give us an opportunity to have conversations or be able to be represented with our views and how this affects us. Many of my members work very little hours, but enough to barely get benefits. I want to talk about one of my members. One of my members is somebody who lost his job in Millersburg, Oregon, at the paper mill. He went back to school and got another opportunity to start a business that hasn't been able to be successful. We have been fortunate to have him come and work at the Greater Albany Public School as a bus driver. For the last 3 years, he's been there and running a business and has health insurance. His wife, who has worked for 20 years in the school district, who makes around $16,000 a year and just barely gets the insurance, also has insurance. They've had one major thing that happened this year, and she has cancer. And if they had not had the double coverage, it would have been a bankruptcy. For me and my husband, who also work in the public sector, my husband, 24 years in the Greater Albany Public School District as a lead mechanic in the bus garage, and me for 24 years driving school bus, I in the last 10 years have had benefits, and he also has had them since he started. We have had to take many choices that have been tough and hard for our family over the years, but having the ability to have the double coverage meant that we got to stay in public sector and do what we thought was the right thing and make sure that our kids were safe coming and to and from school so that they had a good opportunity for good education. If we lose this, my husband and I will have to choose to leave working in public education and go elsewhere. My husband took a huge pay cut coming to work for the Greater Albany Public School District, but the benefits were what made him stay. I ask you to please consider that this is not a good choice that has been made and that we will make the right choice and help us. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Holvey and members of the committee. My name is Soren Metzger, and I'm here today representing the Oregon School Employees Association. Like Helen, classified throughout the state. Unfortunately, we don't represent Albany, but we represent other districts throughout the state. Our classified include school bus drivers, instructional and educational assistants, food service folks, secretaries, and our folks don't take these jobs to get rich. They take these jobs because they love their students and because of the benefits that are offered. So that being said, I did reach out to a number of our folks and asked about this double coverage and how they were impacted. I've heard back from a number of people, and they said that this was important for retention, keeping folks in these positions, and not only that, for need. Our folks, if they don't need the health, the double coverage, they'll opt out. They won't take the health insurance. However, there are folks who really do need the coverage. For example, in my testimony that I submitted to Jessica and Jan for OLIS, you'll find a letter from Debbie Hanna from the Dalles. She, for a long time, did not need the double coverage. She had insurance which was sufficient through her husband, who worked at the local community college. However, their daughter, who was born with complex congenital heart issues, has had some has had some health care needs which required their family to consider accepting the double coverage. They no longer opt out. They have the health insurance coverage, and that has helped out with the three open heart surgeries that their daughter has had and will likely help out with the transplant, the heart transplant that she'll need in the future. So I encourage you to think about families like the Hannahs and other members who have this, who opt into this health insurance benefit for their, to make sure that their health care needs are met. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Questions for this panel? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have a question of our panel, but I just wanted to go back and ask the bill that we're referring to that was passed last time. Was that Senate Bill 1067 in the 17 session?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Other questions for this panel? Thank you very much. I think you did a good job of presenting the issue that you have. We recognize that it's a real issue. Is there anyone else that wanted to testify on House Bill 4123? Jared, you had mentioned before, were you going to testify on this this afternoon? No? Okay. All right. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 4123. Session on House Bill 4058. Jan, can you remind us what this bill is?
Yes, Mr. Chair, committee members. This is a measure that addresses what we refer to as the janitorial contractors, the property services managers, and the committee had a description of the Dash 3 amendment and adopted the Dash 3 amendment at the last meeting. That amendment was a replacement of the original measure, and it was presented as being a consensus amendment. There is a minimal fiscal impact on that amendment, and there's no revenue impact. And again, that has already been adopted.
Thank you. Committee, maybe we should take a motion first. Representative Barreto, are you comfortable with a motion on House Bill 4058?
Yeah, Chair Holby, I move House Bill 4058 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Barreto moves House Bill 4058 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Representative Wilson.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Just appreciate this bill. I appreciate the attempt to clean up what had become a terrible mess, so thank you.
Any other discussion? I'm not seeing any. Jessica, we have. I know there were some issues yet left to discuss on this bill about the housekeeper issue, and so we will be, making sure that the rulemaking takes a look at that issue. It's not clearly addressed in the bill. I just wanted to put that on the record at this point that. We will be following up with that either on the other side of the building or through rulemaking. So I want to get that on the record.
Okay. And thank you. I appreciate that because along with that, and actually this was brought to my attention by my housekeeper 4 days after she got the letter in November. And we were, at least there was some indication from Boley that the deadline of January 1, 2018 was not going to hold for the housekeeper, the house cleaner, the people that comes in and clean your house, and that they were still working on that. So I appreciate you bringing that up because that is definitely an issue that needs to be, in rulemaking, needs to be addressed specifically. So thank you for doing that.
Great.
Sorry.
So with that, Jessica, can we have a roll call vote on House Bill 4058?
Representative Bowles? 4058 is the janitorial.
Okay, yeah.
Get on your numbers.
Hold on, I'm live.
Representative
Jordy?
Aye.
Representative
Evans?
Yes.
Representative
Fahey?
Aye.
Representative Trenton?
Aye.
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 Vice Chair Biden.
Aye.
Vice Chair Barreto.
Mm-hmm. Did I answer for someone else?
I think it was Wilson.
Oh. did Representative
Wilson? Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Barreto.
Aye.
Chair
Biden. Aye.
Chair Holby. Aye. Can you read that back to us so we make sure everybody voted?
I'm glad I started that off well for everyone.
Representative Bowles.
Aye.
Representative Doherty.
Aye.
Representative Evans.
Yes.
Representative Fahey.
Aye.
Representative Hurd.
Aye.
Representative Kenemer?
Aye.
Representative Peluso?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Barreto?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bynum?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye. House Bill 4058, receiving the required votes, is passed. We'll need a carrier on the floor for this. Do I have a particular volunteer for that?
I'll do it.
Representative Peluso.
Representative Salinas and Representative Kreschke worked on this bill.
Boy, short memory I have.
I take it back.
No, I took it back.
Oh, okay. So,
Representative Salinas and Representative Reschke will co-carry this on the floor. Thank you for being my memory.
Yeah.
With that, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 4058. And committee, I've asked the FYI, I've asked Jessica to start alternating, calling out in alphabetical order, and then going the opposite in reverse alphabetical order to be fair to Representative Bowles of always having to be up front first, especially as a freshman. I think that's a little daunting sometimes. So
you never did that for me.
I'm still intimidated.
You noticed?
Yeah. I guess I didn't feel sorry for you. Jeez.
Yeah.
So up next, moving on. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 4115. Committee, I would like to take a motion to move this to rules. There's been some information from the Judicial Department that people have asked questions about and I believe needs some further discussion. That would be my preference for this bill. And highly suggested that I move this bill to rules. And you'll see a couple other bills we'll be wanting to move to rules as well. So.
No amendment and with or without recommendation?
I'd like to go ahead and adopt the -1 amendment first to the bill, but then I'm going to send it without recommendation at this point.
Okay. So this part, yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Chair Holby, I move to adopt the -1 amendment to House Bill 4115.
Representative Barreto moves to adopt the -1 amendment to House Bill 4115. That amendment was from Representative Noble, I believe?
It was, yes.
Yeah. Okay, is there discussion on the amendment? Is there objection to adopting the amendment? Seeing none, -1 amendment is adopted.
Chair Holby, I move House Bill 4115 as amended to House rules without recommendation.
Representative Barreto moves House Bill 4115 as amended to the Committee on Rules without recommendation. Is there discussion? Seeing none, Jessica, can we have a roll call, please?
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Representative Peluso?
Aye.
Representative Kenemer?
Aye.
Representative Byrd?
Aye.
Representative Fahey?
Aye.
Representative Sullivan?
Yes.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Bowles?
Aye.
Vice Chair Barreto?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bynum?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye. House Bill 4115, having received required votes, is moved to the Committee on Rules.
Chair, can we take a short recess?
So the committee will stand at ease. I'd like to reconvene the House Committee on Business and Labor, and I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 4147.
Mr. Chair and committee members, this is the data breach bill, the -4 amendment, I believe was described at the last meeting. It hit the highlights here. It assures consumers are not going to be paying or being charged a fee to place a security freeze or to remove a security freeze. It expands who has to provide notification when a breach occurs, and it requires that the notice of that data breach be made in its most expeditious manner, but certainly within 45 days of discovering the breach. That modifies standards for safeguarding the personal information, and it provides a private right of action under the UTPA. On the -4 amendment, there's no revenue impact, and there's a minimal fiscal impact.
Thank you. And committee, my intention is to adopt the -4 amendment to House Bill 4147 before we move it to rules. This bill's been in a work group that's been on both sides of the building and pretty difficult to keep up with both sides at the same time. But the bills are pretty similar. This one does have a private right of action in it, and is short a couple of changes that have been made on the Senate side to their bill. So we wanted to move this to rules to give it a chance to get caught up with the conversation that's taken place since Saturday, because Saturday was the last amendment request we made on this bill. And there's been a couple other amendment requests since that time. So I'm expecting a little more work on the in the committee on rules. So with that, Janelle, could we have an motion to adopt the amendment, the -4, please?
Chair Holvey, I move to adopt the -4 amendment on House Bill 4147.
Representative Bynum moves to adopt the -4 amendment to House Bill 4147. Discussion. Representative Barreto.
Yeah, I wonder if we could have a description of the -4.
That was the description I read. The -4 replaces the original measure.
And then it still has the private right of action.
Correct.
Okay, and that's the main.
That's the main difference between the Senate bill and the House bill.
Outside of a few technical pieces that happened as well. So I will go ahead. Is there any other discussion on the -4 amendment? I'm going to have a roll call vote because I would imagine there's probably an objection or two. Jessica?
Representative Bowles?
No.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Evans?
Aye.
Representative Fahey?
Aye.
Representative Hurd?
No.
Representative Kenemer?
No.
Representative Peluso?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
No.
Vice Chair Barreto?
No.
Vice Chair Bynum?
Aye.
Chair
Holby? Aye. The -4 amendment is adopted, and a motion to move to the Committee on Rules as amended.
And without recommendation, is that correct?
Yeah, without recommendation.
Okay. Chair Holby, I move House Bill 4147 as amended to House Rules.
Without recommendation.
Representative Bynum moves House Bill 4147 as amended to the Committee on Rules without recommendation. Is there discussion? Representative Barreto.
Yeah, Chair Holvey, I will be a no on this. And one of the reasons is we are running through a lot of these bills that we really don't have time to fully vet. Not what the short session was meant for. We have quite a few concerns about the bill, and so this is one of those issues that should be left when we have further time to work on. So
noted. Other discussion? Representative Evans.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I'm on a slightly different side in that I'm glad it's going to rules so it can be worked some more, because I do, as we've discussed before, have a little bit of concern about how the retailers are going to be dealt with that are kind of caught in the middle of this. So I'm hoping that more time may actually get to a better solution.
Thank you.
Just, Mr. Chair.
Representative Kinnemer.
As a member of rules, I'm just wondering how many bills we're going to be able to consider down there.
Okay, Well, let's just say not my problem.
Thank you for putting that on the record.
With great faith in your
ability. Oh, actually, it is my problem. I am on the Committee on Rules as well. Yes. So, Jessica, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Representative Bowles?
No.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative Fahey?
Aye.
Representative Hurd?
No.
Representative Kenemer?
No.
Representative Peluso?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
No.
Vice Chair Barreto?
No.
Vice Chair Bynum?
Yes.
Chair Holby?
Aye. House Bill 4147, having received the required votes, is moved to the Committee on Rules as amended. And with that, I'm going to open up a work session on House Bill 4154. Jan, can you describe the bill or the amendment that we're looking at on House Bill 4154?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, committee members, this is the measure that Representative Fahey brought to you, and it addresses liability for unpaid wages of the employees of the subcontractor. The dash 2 clarified that the exclusive representation of collective bargaining unit is the one that may bring a claim as opposed to a third party. Requires the subcontractor, upon request of the contractor, to provide the payroll records only for those employees who have filed a wage claim. It requires contracts that are between the contractors and the subcontractors and those at the lower tier to include specified provisions. Allows a contractor to pay the employee the amount of due to the subcontractor's employees from and then withhold payment to the subcontractor until stated requirements are met. And it clarifies that provisions apply to public improvement contracts except for those that are subject to the prevailing wage rate. On the dash 2 amendment, there's no revenue impact and there's a minimal expenditure impact.
Like a motion on, have we adopted the dash 2 amendment?
You have not. Are you moving this to the
Committee on Rules after we adopt the amendment?
Okay.
Chair Holvey, I move to adopt the dash 2 amendment on House Bill 4154.
Representative Bynum moves to adopt the dash 2 amendment to House Bill 4154. Discussion. Is there objection to the amendment? Okay, we'll have a roll call vote on the amendment.
Representative Wilson?
No.
Representative Peluso?
Aye.
Representative Kenemer?
No.
Representative Hurd?
No.
Representative Fahey?
Aye.
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Bowles?
No.
Vice Chair Barreto?
No.
Vice Chair Bynum?
Aye.
Chair
Holby?
Aye.
Yes. The dash 4 amendment is adopted. The dash 2 amendment is adopted. And then a motion without recommendation as amended to the Committee on Rules.
Chair Holby? Right here?
Yes.
Chair Holvey, I move House Bill 4154 as amended to the House Committee on Rules without recommendation and that the bill be considered referred to the Committee on Rules. I'm sorry, let me try that again. Chair Holvey, I move House Bill 4154 as amended without recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules.
Representative Bynum moves that House... Representative Bynum moves
yes,
House Bill 4154 as amended without recommendation and be referred to the Committee on Rules. Is there discussion? You want to say something?
Or
you,
I do.
Okay, Representative Bynum.
I have serious concerns about this bill and the implications for contractors, but I'll be providing a courtesy yes to move it. So.
Okay. Representative Barreto.
Well, I have serious concerns about this bill, too, and I will be a no.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Other discussion. Jessica, can we have a roll call vote? Rules,
I feel like I should break the tie. I mean.
Representative Bowles?
Nope.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative Fahey?
Aye.
Representative Hurd?
No.
Representative Kenemer?
No.
Representative Fusco?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
No.
Vice Chair Barreto?
No.
Vice Chair Bynum?
Yes.
Chair Holby?
Aye. House Bill 4154, having received the votes, is moved to the Committee on Rules. I'll close that work session on House Bill 4154. Open a work session on House Bill 4159.
And committee members, this is the measure that you heard about on Monday. It is addresses member choice with their IAP investment. The Dash One amendment was language that the treasurer's office requested, and we received back the revenue and the fiscal. The revenue statement is issued for the purpose of moving the bill to Ways and Means, where there will be further analysis, and a fiscal statement has been issued.
Okay, so we need to adopt the Dash One amendment, House Bill 4159.
Chair Holby, I move to adopt the Dash One amendment for House Bill 4159.
Representative Bynum moves to adopt the Dash One amendment to House Bill 4159. Is there discussion? Is there an objection?
There was.
I will discuss on the main motion.
Oh.
Is there objection to adopting the Dash One amendment? Seeing none, the Dash One amendment's adopted. Representative Bynum, could we have a motion to move this bill just the way it reads?
Chair Holby, I move House Bill 4159 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Bynum moves House Bill 4159 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there discussion? Representative Doherty.
I'd like to speak in favor of this bill. I think one of the greatest challenges we have today are people saving for retirement. And I'm one of these rare birds. I've been saving for retirement since I was like 14. But I think that when employees have the opportunity to go through and say, of the money that I am putting in, this is how I would like to invest it in a conservative, I'd like to invest it a little more aggressive, I think is a good point to have people's retirement of the money that they're putting in grow a little faster and be able to live their golden years in security. I'm serious.
Is there other discussion? Representative Evans.
Thank you, Chair Hovey. I want to, on behalf of the committee that's not on rules, apologize to those that are on rules. This won't be coming your way. I know you don't have enough things to do, and this one would have kept you occupied for a while. So just get a chance to vote on it, and sorry about that. Looking forward to voting a yes.
Is there any other comments? Seeing none, Jessica, could we have the next roll call vote, please?
Representative Bowles?
No.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative Fahey?
Aye.
Representative Hurd?
Yes.
Representative Kenemer?
Aye.
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Barreto?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bynum?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye.
Can I make a request to see if
it's not going to deal either way?
Not quite yet.
Okay.
You can change your vote if you want, but it's not going to deal.
Representative Bowles, would you like to consider changing your vote, or are you comfortable with your no vote? It's giving you an opportunity.
I'll change it. Yes. However, we have to do it officially.
Please let the record reflect that Representative Bowles voted aye. Um, So with that, House Bill 4159 has passed and moves to the Committee on Ways and Means. Committee will stand at ease just for a moment to check with paperwork. I'd like to bring the House Committee on Business and Labor back to order, please. And I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 4046. Jan, can you describe what we're doing? And I'd like to call somebody up from PERS as well.
Mr. Chair, committee members, this is the measure that Representative Wisnett brought forward. It provides that outside compensation of employees of the public universities, of OHSU, and community colleges is not included in the employee's salary for purposes of PERS. Representative Wisnett brought forward three amendments. He was working with the parties of this bill. The Dash 1 amendment assures that it is not retroactive. This is only for compensation going forward. The Dash 2 amendment was at the request of OHSU. They wanted to be sure that compensation to the employees that is paid by OHSU is not excluded from the employee's salary for purposes of PERS. And then when the public universities and the community colleges saw the Dash 2, I believe they thought that it was prudent that they also have that same language for community colleges and public universities. So it's just assuring that compensation that flows through the higher ed institution can count as PERS salary. Count as salary that's reported to PERS. Outside compensation would not be included.
Thank you. And maybe Steve or Marjorie?
And while she's coming up, I'd say on the Dash 1, there's no fiscal impact, there's no revenue impact. The Dash 2 for OHSU, no fiscal impact, no revenue impact. The Dash 3, which is for community colleges and public universities, there is no revenue impact. We don't have the fiscal statement yet.
Okay.
Sure.
So maybe we'll have Marjorie speak to the three amendments, I guess, before us, or the bill itself, or
sure.
Whatever, just so you know, you can answer some perhaps questions that we may have.
Absolutely. Chair Holvey, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Marjorie Taylor, Senior Policy Director at PERS. To be clear, the Dash 2 and the Dash 3 amendments are not our amendments. They are for the universities, community colleges, and OHSU. PERS is very interested in the Dash 1 to make this prospective only, not retroactive. When we saw the Dash 3 this morning, I practiced the ancient art of hand engrossing the bill with all three amendments, and I saw exactly what Jan described, which is it looks like the OHSU amendment is mirrored in the Dash 3 for community colleges and universities, so that the salary that's paid by the university is actually reportable to PERS as salary, which is what we use in the calculation of their benefit at the time of retirement. So we, PERS, do not have a fiscal impact on the bill, and we reported that to legislative fiscal with regard to the Dash 3 amendment that we also saw this morning. So I'd be happy to answer questions.
Thank you. Representative Evans.
Thank you, Chair. So the only concern I have on this is I call it the Bilotti factor. Mm-hmm. Does this mean that if Bilotti is paid a salary by, or any coach is paid a salary through the university, that the entire salary is now going to be matched in PERS, or it's excluded? Like, does this help or hurt the million-dollar coach?
So, Chair Holvey and Representative Evans, again, PERS takes the salary that's reported by the university. So if the salary is somehow diverted through the university, paid to the employee, and then reported to PERS as salary, then it is salary. But again, understanding what the issue is behind this bill, perhaps the universities, the community colleges, OHSU will understand the legislative intent behind it.
Okay. All right.
Any other questions? So Marjorie, as Rep. Evans mentioned, coach salary, I think, in 2013 we passed legislation to address that, because that income that was added on to the salary actually didn't come through the university. It was an additional monies that were coming from another private source.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the intent of the 2013 bill was about, but it really just addressed it to PERS and not to the educational institutions. And my understanding, this bill is addressing the educational institutions, saying they can't do that.
Correct. Chair Holvey, that's our understanding.
So it doesn't allow that outside income to be added on top of the...
Because it's a different fund source.
Yes.
Okay, great. I thought that. I just wanted to make sure so when people...
But it does enable universities, my understanding, to receive research grants and that, right. Or endowments oftentimes come for a program or a research project, which comes with position money, but that actually flows through the universities and the research. And I know there's somebody from OHSU here who could probably confirm my interpretation, but...
And Chair Holvey, members of the committee, that's how I read the bill, is that the universities and the other institutions could receive that money for those employees. It's just that money would not be reported as salary for PERS purposes.
Thank you very much for the clarification. I really appreciate it. Representative Doherty.
So, for example, if I was an English literature teacher at Portland State University and I got a great endorsement from Webster's Dictionaries, I could not take that endorsement money for Webster's Dictionary and add it to my salary.
I believe that's correct.
Yes. Thank you.
Outside of the university.
That's how we understand the bill.
Yep.
That's how I understand the bill as well.
Even if I did wear their T-shirt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that'd make a difference.
Okay.
Well, it might make a difference on your outside income, but not your income for purposes of the calculation of PERS.
Thank you very much for the clarification.
Ryan, would you care to come up and just, further acknowledge that everything we've said is how you understand this bill as well?
Thank you, Chair Holvey, members of the committee. My name is Ryan Fisher, and I represent OHSU. First off, I want to say that I'm not the one who was closely working on this bill and this amendment, but I was asked to monitor it, and I was briefed on it. And so, to your question, Representative Evans, if a research grant were to come in and were to go to the university, and then the employee of OHSU did work on that research, and their check came from OHSU, their income came from OHSU, then that would be allowed to be counted toward PERS. If an endorsement came from an outside source, then it would not be able to count. That's my understanding.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. So, committee, as we've been discussing this, our paperwork on fiscal impact on the -3 amendment has not come in yet. And so I'm going to go ahead and have Representative Bynum make some motions on the amendments so we get all three of those adopted. Representative Bynum.
Chair Holvey, I move to adopt the -1 amendment to House Bill 4046.
Representative Bynum moves to adopt the -1 amendment to House Bill 4046. Mm. Is there discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, the -1 amendment is adopted.
Chair Holvey, I move to adopt the -2 amendment to House Bill 4046.
Representative Bynum moves to adopt the -2 amendment to House Bill 4046. Is there discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, the -2 is adopted.
Chair Holvey, I move to adopt the -3 amendment to House Bill 4046.
Representative Bynum moves to adopt the -3 amendment to House Bill 4046. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, the -3 is adopted. Representative Bynum.
Chair Holvey, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on House Bill 4046 without having received all of the impact statements.
Representative Bynum moves that the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on House Bill 4046 without having received all of the impact statements. Is there any objection? Seeing none, that motion carries. The rules have been suspended.
Chair Holvey, I move House Bill 4046 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Bynum moves House Bill 4046 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Seeing none, Jessica, could we have a roll call vote, please?
Representative Bowles?
Aye.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Simmons?
Yes.
Representative Fahey?
Aye.
Representative Hurd?
Aye.
Representative Hammer?
Aye.
Representative Caluso?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Barreto?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bynum?
Aye.
Chair Holvey?
Aye. House Bill 4046, having received the votes, is moved to the floor. And I will have Representative Wisnett carry that bill. And with that, I'll close the work session on House Bill 4046.
Are we going to still carry those other bills over till this evening, or we have a half an hour?
I think we're probably going to carry them over. We do have 20 minutes left.
But all the people that were involved are gone.
All the people that were here.
Oh, but they're work sessions.
Yes, I know. I know they are.
Just not feeling well. I'd like to go home. But.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have paperwork and a bunch of other decision making that's happening. And so, let's see if I have any with that. So I apologize. We'll try to make it very short. With the work sessions.
Okay, this one's a good one.
And, you know, if you're not feeling well, I'm sure we could accomplish it without you. We can excuse you if you need to be excused. I'm not quite there yet.
So there should be four that you've got highlighted.
We'll stand at ease for just a moment. Maybe four.
Okay.
I'd like to reconvene the House Committee on Business and Labor. And committee, we're going to stand in recess until 5:30 p.m. Cool.